At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job, or your deodorant, or your lunch, or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
Welcome, everyone, to Couch Potato Diary. Happy, what even day is it? It's Thursday. It's draft day. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for tuning in today. We're going to look at the NFL draft, and we're going to look at a tough night for a couple of Canadian teams, including the one whose jersey, I'm realizing now, is still represented behind me after doing game over Edmonton last night. So a tough one for the Canadian teams for the Stanley Cup playoffs. So we'll get into all of that today. Before we get into the big dancy light opening off the top, I do just want to be one of about 38 million Canadians wishing condolences to the family of Bob Cole following his passing today at the age of 90 years old. I have often said that for play-by-play people, that there are three types. There are some who take away from the moment for whatever reason. There are some who are kind of moment neutral, and there are some who enhance the moment. And Bob Cole enhanced every moment he ever called. And the way he was able to capture the emotions of every game is just spectacular. And it's something that every play-by-play person strives to achieve. And he was the absolute best at it. He had an amazing sense for it, an amazing sense for the moment, and is the greatest of all time. So condolences to Bob Cole, and just an unbelievable life lived for the broadcaster. All right, sad stuff out of the way now. Let's talk some hockey. So, last night happened. Tough night for the Canadian teams. Let's start with the Toronto Maple Leafs as they fall to the Boston Bruins and are now behind 2-1 in their Eastern Conference quarterfinal. And this was one that had to be so frustrating for the Leafs and for their fans, because I actually thought Toronto was starting to play really well in this one. And I thought there were really long stretches where the Leafs were the better team. But then there was a sequence that took Toronto out of it. And Boston did such a great job of dragging the Leafs down into the muck. It was when Matthews gets tied up behind the net, gets thrown down, probably a penalty, but you can definitely see where a referee would be like, ah, it's just both of them, so we'll just play on. And then Marchand and Bertuzzi get tangled up in the neutral zone, and the Leafs are all focused on that, and Frederick is coming down the left wing side, and he scores. And now all of a sudden, the momentum is on Boston's side, and Toronto can't get it back. And that is, quite frankly, inexcusable from a Toronto standpoint. You can talk about refs, you can talk about whatever you want to talk about, how Marchand is a professional at whatever, and he's the best in the world at getting away with shit. It doesn't matter. This is 8 playoff appearances in a row for the Toronto Maple Leafs. This cannot keep happening. You cannot keep falling for this sort of a thing. You cannot keep allowing these types of things to affect you. Do you think that same thing happens to Tampa Bay? That same thing happens to Colorado? That same thing happens to Vegas? No. The Leafs players aren't overflowing with playoff experience, but at this point, that's their fault. They've been in the playoffs now 8 years in a row. The reason they aren't in the 100 game range is because they've been bad at it. And this stuff keeps happening. This is the stuff when it's your first or second time in the postseason, like, okay, yeah, you know what? They're still learning this. 8 trips to the playoffs. I guess technically the postseason, because they lost in that stupid bubble thing to Columbus, which again, their fault. But 8 trips to the postseason in a row for this team. And this basic playoff stuff is what they are still falling for. I can't wrap my head around it. And for Leaf fans, like, this should be enough is enough. And I've said before, if this one isn't it, then I think you have to make substantial changes here. Because there's something in that room that isn't clicking. And it was supposed to be different with Bertuzzi and Domi and Reeves. But Bertuzzi's the one getting tangled up in it. Reeves is supposed to be the adult in the room and clearly hasn't been able to get through to these guys. That This is the type of stuff that happens in every playoff series. It's happened to McDavid a ton, and he's handled it swimmingly in the first couple of games of this series. Happens in every playoff series you watch. There is stuff behind the play, stuff along the wall, stuff in the middle of the ice. No one else gets distracted by it. But this team continues to be so mentally fragile that they just keep falling for the same stuff. And you just can't keep giving them a pass. This isn't a plucky young team anymore. This is a team that should know better and should be better, and they just consistently aren't. Moving on to the Edmonton Oilers after a tough one last night against the LA Kings, tying that series up at one. And it really felt like Edmonton had been reading their press clippings, right? It really felt like the Edmonton Oilers knew that the entire world was picking like Edmonton in three. Don't even bother on the fourth one. I know it looks like I'm in an earthquake right now. For those of you watching, my cat just jumped off the desk, like right here. So that's why it was got a little shaky there for a little bit here. But the Edmonton Oilers looked like they were about as confident in their abilities as I was going into that last night. And it's fine for me to say, like, look, this team is so much better than Los Angeles. So this series is a wrap. But Edmonton can't be thinking like that. And they fell into that trap and they got caught. And they worked their way to get close to being out of it, but they just couldn't get all the way back, eventually falling in overtime. So a bit of a wake-up call for this team. But overall, I still think they looked pretty good in this hockey game. I thought that McDavid, it just felt like he was about to do something and it never really got there. The depth group for this Edmonton forward unit, I thought looked greatly improved from game one. Perry and Evander Kane, Dylan Holloway getting a couple of goals. You just love to see that for him. Former Okotoks Oiler coming up with a couple of big ones there for the Edmonton Oilers in a big spot to get them back into it. So I think Edmonton will be fine. I don't think LA has stumbled upon some newfound thing. They did make adjustments, right? Like they got caught pinching a ton in game one and Edmonton was able to take advantage. That stopped in this one. It is now up to Edmonton, I think, to be better defensively. And I think it is up to Edmonton to be able to kind of dictate the pace in this one again. I think they need to be a bit more aggressive in the defensive zone because LA, the skill level they have on offense isn't close to what Edmonton has. I would force LA into a bit of a track meet and try to get this thing going that way. One more thing for Edmonton here before we put a bow on the hockey conversation. Skinner needs to be better. And there have been some weird ones on him for sure. Three of them in this game weren't his fault. I think you need the Fiala one. The Kopitar one, it's tough. But he kind of looked like DeSmith a little bit, where even the stops didn't look overly confident for the Edmonton goaltender. So I think he could be a little bit better in this series as well. All right, that's going to do it for the hockey conversation. The rest of the sporting world, well, a couple big basketball games tonight, a lot of the sporting world, I guess, is focused on the NFL draft. It's draft day in the NFL, and not the Kevin Costner movie. It is the 2024 NFL draft. The first round goes tonight, and I am so excited because there are so many different ways that this draft could really turn. When you think about how many teams are quarterback needy, given what we saw from the NFL this year, where we had some awful quarterback play, and now you have 4, 5, 6 guys that people are comfortable with taking potentially in the first round. So there is this influx of talent, and there are teams that do feel like they're kind of just a quarterback away. There are also teams that are a quarterback away from being 23 positions away from being really good. And I would suggest the team that's picking third falls into that category with the New England Patriots. So it's really interesting. And I think that's really where the draft, we say it every year, that's where the draft starts at three. Because I do think one is Caleb Williams. And it seems pretty obvious now that Jaden Daniels is going to the Washington Commanders, which is an interesting spot. I am not overly sold on him necessarily. I'm not fully 100% a believer that he is going to be the transformational guy with Washington, but there's at least a bit of a situation around him offensively that you don't mind. They need to address, like, after they take him, it needs to, the next, however many picks they have, all need to be offensive linemen. But At three, it's New England. And they are in an interesting spot because they do need a quarterback of the future. And if you think that's Drake May, then every analyst should tell you, or will tell you, that if you think the quarterback of the future is there, you take him and you just move on. The problem is they have nothing. Their offensive line sucks. The skill position players suck. They have nothing there to help this quarterback out. Now, they have Jacoby Brissett, who's going to go in there and just get pummeled for 8 to 10 weeks before the calls for a Drake May to come in will start. But they, like, this is an awful situation for a quarterback to walk into. And I just think you look at a couple of these and you are setting yourself up for failure, right? Like, you thought Sam Darnold was the quarterback of the future. So you, Zach Wilson, quarterback of the future. So you have to take these guys high and then figure out the rest later. Some teams are really bad at figuring out the rest later. When you look at, on the other hand, like a Minnesota does feel like they should be one of the ones who are trying to trade up to get a quarterback. Like, that makes complete sense to me because you have all the weapons around you. The offensive line is fine. You have a team there that can just throw a quarterback in and you feel good about them moving forward. But for New England, like, I know a lot of Patriots fans do not want them to trade back. You just take a good quarterback and go from there. If you're able to get a few, like, do the classic New England thing, able to get a few picks and try to build around something, you're not going to be that good next year. And there are a couple of quarterbacks in the draft next year. And then you overpay in a trade and move up and get them then. I just think that they're neat. We have so many examples of you needing a foundation around a quarterback before you draft them to have success. And I know CJ Stroud, I probably would have been saying this about the Texans, like, that this team isn't ready to just pluck in a quarterback, and he led them there. That is the exception, not the rule. So we'll see. I would imagine with how all of this plays out, my prediction still is New England is picking at three. I think the Chargers are in a really tough spot because they need a tackle and a wide receiver, and they are in a spot where they can get one of the elite wide receivers. But if they do that, by the time they're picking again, all the good tackles are kind of gone. But if, like, there will still be some good receivers there, but they do kind of feel maybe a smidge high to be taking like a Joe Alt or something like that. But anyone that they would be moving back with, they might be moving back too far to then end up getting a Joe Alt or someone like that. So they're in this spot where it makes sense to go, like, take one of the elite wide receivers that are out there, but then maybe you don't fill this other need. Okay, well, let's fill this other need because there's depth here. Like, well, that's a little high. Okay, well, let's move back. Ah, that might be too far back. Like, they're just in this sweet spot where no answer feels like the right one. And so probably what there will, and my guess is they end up going with Latham, the kid out of Alabama, and then just get another wide receiver later and go from there. I don't, everyone has had Minnesota trading up into this spot to try to go up and get a quarterback. I think that they will stick and pick with this spot at five, which then puts the Giants in an interesting spot at six, because they, if you, longtime listeners of this show, over 3 years now, will know I'm not the biggest Daniel Jones fan out there. I don't think he's very good. I think he had one good year and is wildly overrated. That being said, I feel like if you draft J.J. McCarthy at six, you are putting him in the exact same situation as you just put Daniel Jones in, with the exception that you don't have a Saquon Barkley to help bail him out. Like, you are putting J.J. McCarthy into a worse situation than Daniel Jones is. And even if you think J.J. McCarthy is a significant upgrade to Daniel Jones, he can't pass to himself. And so again, you're in this tricky spot. Do you go out and get one of these high-level wide receivers to help out with your young quarterback now, or do you go get a young quarterback and start the clock over again? I think the Giants are in a real interesting spot there at six. Lastly here, on the quarterbacks in this draft, I, as a Raider fan, am getting really worried about the amount of mocks that have Penix going at two. At 13 to the Raiders. My dream scenario was getting a tackle for the Raiders at 13 and then maybe moving up in the second round or late in the first round and getting Penix there. This is not a first round caliber quarterback. Even less so is Bo Nix, who might be going ahead of the Raiders at 13. Like the Raiders could end up taking the sixth quarterback in the draft, which is insane to me. I don't view Nix or Penix as first round talents. And that is where I think the real mistakes lie. Like McCarthy, May, Daniels, those guys are first round talents. They're probably not top of the first round talents, but if that is your need, that is your need. So go and address that. Where you get into trouble is using first round picks on players who aren't the caliber of first round picks and then putting them in as the starters because they're your first round pick. That is where you get into big, big trouble. Mac Jones, Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, Trey Lance. That is where you really fall into the problems. Johnny Manziel, Baker Mayfield, the list goes on and on. That is the problem with reaching on quarterbacks. It's not when you reach for a first round graded quarterback, but like the 21st overall player at 5. It's when you are getting like the 52nd best player at 13. And that is where I think big mistakes are made in the draft. Bit of a quicker one today. As I mentioned on the show a couple of days ago, I have a bunch of hockey games coming up this week. Also, if you want more in-depth coverage on the Stanley Cup playoffs, I am back on Game Over. I have done Game 1 and 2 for Game Over Edmonton and Game 2 for Game Over Vancouver. All of those are on the Game Over Network right now. Because of everything I have going on, there is no Fights in Football Friday this week. I will make it up to you guys next week for sure. We will have full draft breakdown coming up on Monday. A lot has gone on in the world of professional wrestling, boxing, and mixed martial arts. And so I will try to tee all that up for you guys on Monday as well. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Follow me on social media. I am at Primetime Klein, and I'll talk to all of you later. Have a wonderful rest of your day, everybody.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.